روز بخیر، سلام گرم من خدمت یکایی که شما شنوندگان عزیز برنامه دنیای ما جامعه ما. دیدی امینی هستم و امروز میزبان رئیس آتش نشانی لس آنجلس. لس آنجلس کانتی فایر چیف دارالانسی has the distinct honor of serving as the ninth fire chief of the Los Angeles County Fire Department with an education in business and executive management and a progressive outlook towards the future. Fire chief Osby strives to ensure the department maintains its reputation through sharing of best practices with fellow fire agencies and creating an inclusive work environment in Los Angeles County. Beyond his leadership role within the County of Los Angeles, Fire Chief Osby also serves as the chair of FireScope, which consists of local, state, and federal fire agencies who coordinate training, incident command, mutual aid, and advisement to the governor's office on fire issues. Fire Chief Daryl Lancey, I want to thank you and all the firefighters, all the first responders who risk their lives to protect others. It's truly an honor to have you and having this interview with one of the highest ranking officers when it comes to safety. Welcome to today's program.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for having me. And thank you for acknowledging our firefighters for all that they do to protect the lives and property of LA County. So thank you.
Thank you so much. I wanted to ask you, when is the peak of wildfire season in Los Angeles?
Typically, the peak, the wildland fire season in Los Angeles County are the fall months. So normally after a hot, dry summer, the latter part of September, October, November, and all the way until we start getting significant rainfall is when we're most concerned because our vegetation is dried out. And then typically we start getting storm systems out of the Alaska, but we don't get the precipitation here. We just get the strong Santa Ana winds. And so that's when we're most concerned about our fire season.
You mentioned what is actually the fuel of these wildfires, but how do they usually start? What is the usual cause of the start of these wildfires?
Unfortunately, and that's why we really need our citizens and your listeners to partner with us, but over 90% of wildfires are actually human caused. So either smoking, you know, cigarettes or sparks from chains dragging up the back of cars or using chainsaws or lawnmowers during hot, dry days. Unfortunately, even in some instances, we have people that intentionally set fires during our 4th of July month. You know, a lot of fires are started by fireworks. And then occasionally in our fall months, when we have our high wind events, you've seen throughout California, some of our fires, unfortunately, were started by the utility power companies with down the power lines. So those are primarily our causes. It's very rare that they're caused naturally, and naturally in our state would be, in our county would be lightning. So most fires are caused by humans.
So I guess that a lot of them can be prevented if we can educate people on how to put down the fire and make sure that the cigarette butts are not on the floor. Any assumption of, is it possible that some of them are being set intentionally?
Yeah, unfortunately, we have had some that were set intentionally. And I think some of it in regards to the intentional aspect was just, you know, kids playing with fireworks, and then it wasn't really intended to create the challenge that we've had, but we've had several fires a year that are started by primarily kids with fireworks. But then unfortunately, every now and then we have arson fires. And typically when we do have arson fires, those are hard to catch the people and then prosecute. So normally only about 1% of our fires when we have an arson fire, whether in the wildfires, they're caught and prosecuted because typically they happen when no one's around and no one sees them. But occasionally we've been able to catch people setting fires. And then the last item that really has been a real dynamic here in our county are a lot of the homeless encampments that we have throughout the county of Los Angeles. So really during days when we have extreme fire weather, we go out and educate encampments, or the sheriffs will go out and assist us. And then when we're in extreme fire weather, we'll actually work with some of the homeless initiative entities like LASA to actually evacuate people from those areas.
Oh, well, I know that fighting wildfires in Los Angeles has always been a challenge and not an easy task. But in today's situation, what kinds of difficulties are added to this fight and navigating wildfires due to the coronavirus?
Well, thank you for that. So right now, as we speak, our firefighters and our chief officers are training for this year's fire season. And then we're encouraging all of our citizens to do proper brush clearance. And then, like we spoke earlier, most fires are created by humans, so we really need our citizens to partner with us to prevent fires. But this COVID-19 really creates an additional dynamic to this season. So right now, every day, we ask our firefighters, if you're sick, don't come to work. And then we do monitor our firefighters every day as far as their temperatures and their vitals and their behaviors as it relates to COVID-19. And then we also have testing for them. So right now, my organization, we've had 18 people test positive, which when I think about the thousands of calls that we go on, that's not a bad number. But nevertheless, if we have a wildfire, and sometimes when we have major fires, and we have to set up base camps or feeding areas or showering areas, then that really is concerning to us because we have a lot of people in close proximity. So we've been doing a lot of training, a lot of review of our automatic and mutual aid agreements to ensure that if we do get fires, we do our best to put them out and keep them small fires from getting large. The likelihood that we do get a large fire, then our objective is to really do social distancing and like at the fires like we do in the fire stations or like we do in the citizens. And so what that means is that we won't have large base camps. What that means is sometimes we will have smaller camps or some firefighters will have to be on their own as far as their food. The fire department will provide food and MREs for them, or you might have to go to a local restaurant. Then we're going to do the same thing in the wildfire areas as far as monitoring our firefighters and if people are sick to isolate them or quarantine them. So we're really concerned about that, and we're going to do all that we can to ensure that when there's wildfires that we keep our firefighters safe. But COVID-19 does add an additional dynamic to the safety and welfare of our firefighters.
Exactly. In case that there is a need for evacuation under these COVID-19 circumstances, where would people go? In case there's a need that they go to shelters, how would social distancing would be observed?
Yeah, that's going to be very challenging. So we're going to be sending out letters, and hopefully you can help us, to our citizens. Number one is to ensure that they have proper brush clearance, because in many instances, we need defensible space to save them and protect their property. But then number two, we're going to ask our citizens that live in these wildfire areas that in advance of a wildfire, that they come up with their own evacuation processes. Don't wait until we ask you to evacuate, and have places that you can go, maybe other families or friends that are pre-identified. But in the event that some of our citizens don't have those processes or locations identified, then we are going to establish evacuation centers, and just like we do with our fire stations, we're going to monitor people coming into the centers. We're going to test people that we think that may exhibit signs and symptoms of COVID-19, and we're going to ensure that we have social distancing, and which means also, because of social distancing, that we're going to have to identify more evacuation centers than we normally would to ensure that we also keep our citizens safe if they have to go to an evacuation center.
So as far as establishing these places are concerned, where are we standing right now? I mean, do you have any places in mind? Or I'm sure it's a work in progress, but how much more work do you think it needs to be done in order to ensure that there are places? I'm sure that the first concern is to prevent any fire from happening. But in case that it happens, are we ready for such thing?
Well, we're really going to have to partner with our citizens and really ask for them to take a lot of responsibility themselves if they can find a motel or hotel or another family or friend's house to lessen mm-hmm. the burden on us. But mm-hmm. each year, prior to the wildfire season, we pre-identify locations like parks and recreation centers and schools. And I think, I'm not exactly sure what COVID-19 is going to look like, particularly when we get to the fall months when we're most concerned about fires and wind-driven fires and evacuations. But if COVID-19 stands the way it is now, it does create an advantage in the sense that a lot of our parks, a lot of our recreation centers, a lot of our schools are closed. Mm-hmm. So that provides more facilities for us to evacuate. But what that means is that we would have to have a greater participation. We primarily rely on the Red Cross and the Salvation Army for staffing evacuation centers. But right now, with the work-at-home order from our public health officer, we also do have a lot of county employees that we are training as disaster service workers. So if there's a major incident where we have to evacuate people, we can also use existing county employees to function as disaster service workers to help us maintain social distancing and do the best that we can to keep our citizens safe in evacuation centers.
That's great. Yeah, and as you mentioned, most of the schools are out, so that should provide plenty of room just in case it's needed. Have you ever had trainings in schools, for example, middle schools or high schools, for our young adults to learn how to prevent fires from happening, starting, or how they're responsible to what things that they have to watch after and make sure that at least they are not the cause of these wildfires? Did you have this program before, or is this something that you might consider now or in the future to add it to their classes and, you know, make it mandatory for them to take courses in that regard?
We can always do better. I know that we have a lot of information on our website. We do a lot of community meetings in our communities throughout our jurisdiction. And as we can, we do go into the schools and talk to them about public safety and things they can do to keep themselves safe as far as learning basic first aid skills or public safety as far as the prevention of fires and if there's a fire. We primarily go into the schools to really help them understand what to do in case of a residential fire, because mm-hmm. unfortunately we lose most of our fire fatalities are in residential settings. And in certain parts of our community, we go into the schools to really talk to them about pool safety, because we're also entering the summer months where, unfortunately, we have a lot of drowning in private pools. But to answer your question more specifically, we could do a better job. And I can say as the fire chief, if there was ever an opportunity for us to have mandatory curriculum in the unified school systems to really talk about public safety, about prevention of fires, prevention of vehicle accidents, prevention of injuries, and when those things do occur, what you need to do in relation to learning CPR or first aid, immediately call 911. If we can have a better partnership with our school district, then naturally, I would be happy to partner with our school districts to continuously look for ways to improve public safety here in our region. So, yeah, thank you for that question.
Sure. I think that would be wonderful. I mean, if you're talking about teenagers, let's be honest. Most of them, unless it's mandatory, they try to avoid any learning. And as far as the accidents, car accidents, drinking under the influence is concerned, I know that they have programs like 15 minutes when they actually do invite firefighters and police departments to talk to teenagers. But as far as this kind of safety is concerned, like fire, especially wildfire, I personally am not aware of any mandatory classes that they have to take, perhaps pass grades for it or get some sort of credit in order to taking those educational courses.
I totally agree. And actually, I just wrote some notes down as far as mandatory curriculum for middle school or high schools. And so I appreciate the question, and I will definitely follow up with our school district to see if we can come up with some type of program to ensure that we are doing all that we can collectively to keep our children in our community safe. So thank you.
Wonderful. Now, I had a question that is kind of off today's subject, but it has been a question for me all the back of my mind. There are some phone calls coming in these days usually. They're asking for donations and money for the fire department and perhaps police department. And then on the other hand, I always hear that the police department or firefighters don't call people's residents to collect money. Do you have any input for that? Is that true that they call and ask for their support financially or not?
Typically, we don't solicit funds.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a Los Angeles County Fire Department Foundation, and you can go to the Los Angeles County Fire Department website. And for the life of me, I should know it, but
I will announce it actually in the next section. I'm going to come back and translate whatever we're discussing for people, and I would definitely provide that information as well.
Yeah, so we do have a foundation, and you can go to the Los Angeles County Fire Department website to get information. And typically when we do ask for funds, like for COVID-19 or wildfire or whatever, we will do that via the internet. So if you go to our site, you will see that, or you will see it advertised online. So you can always go back to our website or call somebody to verify that this is legitimate. Mm-hmm. But typically, I don't have staff that's out soliciting funds. And so when those things do occur, I would say to your readers to be very leery of that. And before they give, to make sure that they call or they email somebody to really validate to ensure that it's legitimate.
That's a very good idea, because I know that people would like to support the first responders in any way they can. But as long as the money goes to the right place, then that would be ideal. We don't want
Absolutely.
People to take advantage. And thank you so much. We have about a couple more minutes. Any other messages for the community that you would like to add, or any cooperation that you think that you expect from them actually when it comes to evacuation or prevention?
Well, I think first of all, you can always go to the Los Angeles County Fire Department website, and that's www.fire.lacounty.gov. And we have a lot of information on our website about home safety. Unfortunately, during COVID-19, we had 4 residential fires where we had 6 fatalities. And generally speaking, I always think as a fire chief, but residential fatalities are preventable if you have working smoke detectors or CO monitors and you practice evacuation drills in your home. So those are always preventable. So you can go to our website and look at our website in relation to home safety. Definitely, because we have this upcoming fire season, you can look at our website. We have a Ready, Set, Go program. And it talks about the things that you need to be prepared for in advance of a fire, as far as brush clearance and getting things ready prior to an evacuation, if you have to evacuate, as far as medicine or personal heirlooms or pictures. And then when we say set, that means that you don't always have to wait for us to tell you to evacuate, because sometimes, depending on where you live, it might take longer, but you should always be ready to evacuate. And when we say evacuate, that really means go. Unfortunately, when we had fires in 2018 here in Malibu area, unfortunately, some of our citizens perished because they didn't evacuate when we asked them to. And then we have the summer months coming up, and so we have pool safety information on our website about pool safety. And then to conclude it, our foundation is on the website. So if you want to give to our foundation, then we really support youth programs, recruitment programs to ensure that we have a diverse fire agency, and then equipment and needed training for our firefighters. So I really appreciate the interview and really appreciate the relationship with media and your organization and the partnership. And then it's really, when you think about public safety, it's really a partnership between the first responders, media, and our citizens. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I want to thank you for taking the time off your busy schedule and dedicating your time to share all this educated information with our audience today.
Okay.
Thank you. دوستان عزیز، بعد از شنیدن چند پیام بازرگانی برمیگردیم. من ترجمه از مطالبی رو که رئیس آتش نشانی لس آنجلس عنوان کردن در خدمتتون خواهم گفت. با ما باشید.